Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And happy Resurrection Day.
Happy Resurrection Day.
I'd like to say hi to John Wu, who's joined us. Hello, John. And we have some visitors here, JR and Jessica. I don't know if you want to say anything. You don't have to. But if you want to, we'd like to greet you in the Lord.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Great, great. I understand you just moved to the area, so welcome to Torrance. Okay, well, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for loving us so much to send Jesus to us. Jesus, we exalt your name high above every name. We invite you to be head of this church because you're the head of every church that bears your name. And we voluntarily bow the knee to you and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. One day everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth, whether voluntarily or by force, will bow the knee and confess that you are Lord.
Amen.
But we do so voluntarily,
Amen.
Gladly, with such joy in our hearts.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for today. We pray that you would speak to your people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Please turn with me to Psalm 68. Actually, before I read, you may have wondered why I did not say Happy Easter. I've been bothered by that holiday label for quite some time. I didn't quite wasn't able to put my finger on it until this time around. But something just wasn't right, like Easter bunnies and eggs and what is this tradition that we are participating in as Christians? And so. Is the volume?
No, just back here.
Because okay, volume's okay. Okay, sorry. And did you know there's actually a reference for Easter in the Bible? Shocking thing that the Lord showed to me. In Acts 12, verse 4, it speaks of the Passover, but if you look at the different translations, there is one nuance of Acts 12, 4, when it says Passover, that it can also be Easter, and that is a Babylonian term. It is from the Chaldeans / Babylonians, and it has roots in their goddess of fertility, and that's why I think it's during spring. That's when everything is blooming. There's a dark, sinister thing that has been mixed in with the most holy of holidays for the Christian, and you kind of expect that. If it's the most important day for the Christian, definitely Satan is trying to do something negative here. And so, let's say Happy Resurrection Day on this Sunday instead of Easter. Psalm 68, verse 18. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation. And to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. But God will strike the head of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. And I'll jump down to verse 32. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to the Lord, Selah, to him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens. Behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Amen. From Good Friday, I've been just convicted by the Lord of the sins of the tongue. And so I've been asking, Lord, instead of sinning with my lips, instead of judging under my breath, instead of acting as if I'm judge over people and teaching and asking people to come up to my level. Instead of being wicked like that, how should I use my lips? Instead of being proud, judgmental, angry, harsh, how should I be with my lips? And the Lord has been gently giving me many words. And we shared one this past Good Friday. Instead of judging and cursing others, as it says from James, the book of James, that from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. It's just such an odd thing. Should there be two streams that come out from the same mouth? There's something, this mixture is not right. We need to get it cleaned up. And so I've been asking the Lord, okay, no more cursing. No more evil talk. No more harshness. No more teaching as if I am higher than somebody else. Let me use my mouth to bless. And the first thing the Lord gave to me from last Friday is that I should use my mouth to first declare that I am clean by His Word and by His blood. John 15, verse 3. It says, you are clean because of the word, the logos, that I have spoken to you. John 15, 3. This is before Jesus was crucified on the cross. We think we're cleansed only by the blood of Jesus. But even before He shed His blood, He says, you are clean. And that is such an amazing truth. The logos that we declare with our lips. Let me go on in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And this word is not logos, it's rhema. It's not the written word, not logos, it is rhema, the spoken word. So that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Christian life at times can feel like it's a hamster wheel. Like you are sinning, and then you go for the blood of Jesus, and you ask for cleansing. And then you sin in exactly the same way, you go back to forgiveness. And so it just seems like we're running in circles, and we're not making any progress. But there's an amazing truth here, that when you declare the logos, the written word, with your mouth, as you speak it out, in the same way the disciples, when Jesus spoke to them, He was teaching them from John 13 through John 17. For those chapters, when He's preaching to them the logos, and He's uttering it with His mouth, they are being cleansed and they don't even realize they're being cleansed. This is even before the blood that was shed. And so when you read the Word, don't just read it silently. Don't just think about it in your head. Declare it with your mouth. Declare. There is cleansing. We don't even know how it happens, but the people who are listening, the 12 disciples, 11 of them, minus Judas Iscariot, all 11 were cleansed by the preaching of the word that was spoken to them. And so when we have the word, don't just think it, don't just meditate on it, declare it. Speak it aloud. And there is cleansing that comes. But there's a deeper cleansing that we all know by the blood of Jesus. It says in 1 John 1, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is 1 John 1, verse 7. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we tend to just stop there. We tend to say, okay, I want the blood of Jesus. That's what cleanses me from sin. But if you keep on reading, in the second chapter, 1 John 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Did you know that it's possible in Jesus, as we become more and more sanctified, as we become more and more like Jesus, that the rate in which we sin decreases? That the power and the pattern of sin can be broken. That's what's being done for us at Calvary when Jesus died and He resurrected in victory. The power and the pattern of sin in our lives can be broken in Jesus' name. And so when we have the cleansing, whenever you read aloud the scripture, there is a cleansing. But when we ask for the blood of Jesus, it goes into the crevices, even between soul and spirit. even our conscience, it goes into the corners of our heart, that the word just covers us at the surface level, but the blood of Jesus comes into every crevice, and it cleanses us so that pattern of sin is broken. You don't keep sinning in the same way as you used to every year that we walk with Jesus. You know, it'd be a shame if we say, I've been walking with Jesus 50 years, but I'm exactly the same. But thank God He forgives me. That's how many Christians live. But the truth of God's Word, as we get sanctified, not only the cleansing of His Word, as we declare it, as we speak it aloud, the blood of Jesus cleanses even the tendency to sin, even the root of sin that was there, from which all the bad, evil tree comes out. Everything is cleansed in Jesus. So let's use our mouth to confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, declare the word aloud, and ask for the blood of Jesus so that we stop sinning. Second thing is, use your mouth to bless the Lord with a song. Ephesians 4 verse 8, when Jesus ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men, spiritual gifts He gave to the church. And this is based on the psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 68. And if you read the whole psalm, you'll see it's a song of victory. That the king and his generals and the army, they've won a battle, and they're coming back, and they have spoils, and the spoils of war are going to be distributed to the citizens, and in behind them, the victors are these POWs, prisoners of war. They're captives that are being brought back. And the citizens, seeing them from a distance, we go out to the king. We welcome the king. This is a foreshadowing of possibly rapture, or when Jesus comes back the second time, we will meet Him in the air. When Jesus comes back with a host of captives, we're going to meet Him. We're going to go out to meet Him. And that's what they did. When they saw the victorious king and the generals coming, they went out of the city gates and they went out to meet the King of Kings. And the first procession we see in Psalm 68, verse 18, is you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men. We know that the first procession is Jesus leading captives, leading unclean spirits, leading demonic forces, leading prisoners of war. Even in 1 Peter 3, He declares victory, spirits that are in prison. And these are the captives, the first procession that is coming. The second procession is what I want to focus on. It says in verse 24, your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. The second procession is Jesus is leading His people in victory, and right behind them, at the very front of this procession, who is there? It's the singers. That means our praise leaders, Matthew, Pauline, you are in the front. You are leading the victors because you have a song on your heart and on your lips. The singers, there's such a spiritual truth here that we should not only declare the word, the Logos, through our Rhema, through the speaking of God's word, we should also speak out praise to His name. We should bless His name. And so I pray that you can begin each day, end each day with a song. A song that comes out of your lips to bless the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. You can thank Him for salvation. You can thank Him for all the blessings in your life. You can thank Him for health. You can thank Him for carrying you through the trial that you're in, and you're able to be steadfast. You can thank Him. You can praise Him, for He is good. The fact that He saved us means He doesn't owe us anything. We don't have any right to grumble that things are not going well in this life. We have every reason, every day, no matter what we're facing, to bless the Lord. To bless the Lord. Sing a song. He wants you to sing. You don't have to be musically talented. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be in pitch or in tune. Just the fact that you... He sees that heart of gratitude and praise and worship. I encourage everyone, a cappella, with a guitar, with a piano, with tambourines, as it says. You can just beat with your hands on the kitchen table, just something to sing a melody to the Lord from your heart. And lastly, we pull out our sword by using our mouth to proclaim the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. There's only one that's an offensive weapon. Verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is not the Logos, it's not the written word. This word is Rhema. It is a spoken word. Every time you speak the Word of God, it is like you're pulling out your sword. And in Revelation 12, it says, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. There are some in the body of Christ that every day what you hear is the accuser's voice. And you hear your own voice of condemnation because you think that by now I should be different. By now I should be changed. And why did I sin against my spouse? Why did I lash out against my kids? And there's such a strong voice of condemnation that accuses you. And then the first thing that happens is your lips close. When you're condemned, you just feel so ashamed. You just retreat back and there's you cannot speak. You can't utter praise. You can't confess. You feel so unworthy. And Satan has you right where he wants you. He drags you further and further away from God. How do you break out of that cycle? How do you and I break out? You have to pull out the sword. It is your offensive weapon. And you have to proclaim, because we know that Jesus is victorious. We say this on Resurrection Sunday. Every time we gather on Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. We declare our victory. But why isn't the victory unfolding? How often do you pull out your sword? How often do you declare, Jesus, you're victorious, and I claim your victory for myself? In Jesus, I am a victor. In Jesus, I am an overcomer. And so these voices, I rebuke you, I silence you. They're not true. The condemnation that's coming from yourself, the guilt that silences you, you break out of that cycle. You start using your mouth to confess your sins, to ask for forgiveness, to bless the Lord with a song, and to pull out your sword and say, I am a victor, I am an overcomer. This is not how I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to use my mouth not to curse myself, not to be silent and to put my sword back in a sheath, but to take it out and to declare it. I am a victor. If you say this every day of your life, I bet you will see a change. If you start declaring every day victory in Jesus by His blood, by what He did at Calvary, the host of captives, I am in a new procession of victors, and out front, I am in the front, I am singing a song. If you do this every day, I guarantee there will be a shift. You will not be a loser. You will not be just barely surviving. You will start thriving in the Lord because you're learning how to pull out your sword. And you're declaring in Jesus' name. Because what He did is not just in a general sense. It's for me every single moment. I can be a victor in Christ Jesus. And then in Revelation 12 that we read, verse 11, and they have conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. And what you will notice as you start declaring and using your mouth as an offensive weapon, you will see that your life changes. That things that used to defeat you no longer defeat you. The trial that you're in that used to keep you down, that made you grumble, you start seeing there's a steadfastness that's being built up in you. And what comes out of that shift is a testimony. Amen. You start declaring, that thing, I used to get defeated by that thing, but now as I declare victory, I see a shift. And now out of that season, I have a testimony. And now I'm going to declare it to everybody. And I'm going to declare it to the Lord in thanksgiving. That is how we use our mouth, not only to to declare that we're clean by His word, cleansed by His blood, using our mouth to bless the Lord with a song, and using our mouth by pulling out a sword, proclaiming His victory that is yours and mine in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we don't want to be a living contradiction anymore. A Christian who blesses and curses out of the same mouth come two different streams, a mixture. Lord, may it not be so. Especially those who are teachers, may it not be so. Lord, may it only be one stream that comes out, a stream of blessing. And Lord, we bless you with a song. We bless you with praise. We bless you. Hallowed be your name. Father, you are holy. Jesus, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. We bless you with a song. Lord, we confess with our lips that we are clean. Lord, that Satan, the accuser, wants us to feel dirty and unworthy, but that is untrue. Even the disciples, as full of sins as they were, before Jesus died on the cross, they are listening to Jesus preach and they are clean. Jesus, you declared it. And you declare it over every single one of us here. That just because the word of God was preached and we listened and we accepted it with faith, we are clean in Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the deeper sanctification and cleansing that comes through your blood. I pray that it would cleanse our spirit, our soul, our body, our mind, our will, emotion, every crevice, and every corner of our heart, every thought and attitude and motive, even our conscience. We pray for a good conscience, a cleansed conscience. I pray that all of us would know that we're thoroughly cleansed so that our sin is not just covered, but the power and the pattern of sin can be broken in Jesus' name so that we can be victorious, so that we no longer sin. Lord, that is the promise of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You came to conquer sin for us, and we declare, Jesus, that you're victorious. We use our mouth, we pull out our sword, we say, Jesus, you are victorious, and we apply that victory over us. We pray that many testimonies, because we are conquerors by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony, we pray that many testimonies may emerge from the brothers and sisters who are gathered here in your name. Father, thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary and your body that was broken. And now we celebrate your resurrection and we proclaim, Jesus, your name until you return. We so look forward to your return because we love not our lives, even unto death. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you meet us and minister to us during this partaking of the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So after you finish praying, when you're ready, please come. Feel free to come and take the Lord's Supper with us.